Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Pittsburgh-based jazz pianist and composer Deanna Witkowski. She talked about her 2022 CD Force of Nature and a new Mary Lou Williams book. This new recording features the adventurous music of Mary Lou Williams, and this happens to be Deanne's seventh full album. This album also documents the firm musical and spiritual connection between Mary Lou and Deanna, and was released in the same year as her first book, Mary Lou Williams, Music for the Soul. She talked about both of these projects, COVID life, and getting back to live music, along with a little bit more. Enjoy.
Deanna, we catch back up. We've interviewed before. Obviously, right now, things are vastly different on planet Earth, but it's wonderful to see that you have a new album out. The world's waking up, so thanks for taking a minute after the show.
Sure, it's great to be here.
So, Force of Nature is your brand new album, and before we get into kind of the artistic construction of this album, it's coming out during a time where everything's opening up, the world's in a different place. What is your overall feeling about having this come out at this particular time with the opportunity to promote it in person?
Well, I'll say it's been pretty interesting because, I mean, for two things. So one is this is kind of a confluence of both Force of Nature coming out in January, this past January, and then my Mary Lou Williams biography coming out last September. So really the way I thought about this record is that it's like a companion piece to the book, even though it certainly stands alone. So there's a lot of people who bought the book, read the book, really liked it, and then went ahead and, you know, got the album. That is really exciting to me because my whole point in writing the book was that I wanted people to then put it down and experience Mary Lou's music. And I've been playing her music for so long, for 20-some years now, that this was just a great opportunity to do this record. It's for a Pittsburgh jazz label, for MCG Jazz at Manchester Craftsman's Guild. And so all of that, timing-wise, has been really exciting. You know, as far as in-person goes, the interesting thing is, so I'm in a different point in my life right now from the last time we spoke, and that I went back to school full time. So I'm a PhD student at the University of Pittsburgh, as well as still performing. So I would say that I am, now that the semester is finally done, I mean, I'm working more on booking gigs for 2023. And so I'm certainly hoping, and also with things opening up, that even like a year from now, there will just be a lot more opportunities to share the music from Force of Nature with folks.
So the one thing I always hear, and I hear it more specifically from actors and actresses, you know, when you get in the head of somebody that you're portraying, it has to have an impact on you. It has to sway you. So to get into the head of Mary Lou, who was someone that was probably in the annals of jazz, one of the most intensely creative, talented people that really had such a firm grip on not only the history of jazz, but a command of what she was doing and how she did it. What did she do for you and the way that you approach music? How did she change you?
Well, I talk about this a lot in the book, you know, so Mary Lou and I have, I mean, we certainly have many differences, obviously, but there's a lot of parallels and entry points for me. The first thing that attracted me to Mary Lou's music back in 2000, when I got asked by the late Dr. Billy Taylor to perform at the Mary Lou Williams Women in Jazz Fest at the Kennedy Center, and I didn't know her music at all, and then I started checking it out. I mean, the first thing I actually learned about was her sacred music that she started writing in the mid-1960s after she converted to Catholicism, and my jaw basically dropped because at that point, I had just written my first jazz mass for a church in New York, in Manhattan. That's the music I actually gravitated to first before I even went back to her instrumental music from the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, 60s, 70s. I mean, she had a 60-year career. So I would say that, you know, another really interesting thing about Mary Lou for me is the way that she forged her own path and created networks of support for herself that were very non-traditional. She was a really avid letter writer. And so one of the interesting things I found was that Mary Lou was someone who was very stubborn and in a good way. And when she knew that she had a musical or an artistic vision that she needed support for, she got other people on board with her. That's how she started the first Pittsburgh Jazz Festival in 1964. That's how, you know, she had letters with correspondence with various religious nuns for like 20 years and just, you know, really solid friendships with nuns that I really believe personally supported her. And all of that, you know, seeing someone do all of that work behind the scenes is something that's definitely influenced me. And in fact, I mean, following Williams's story led me to move. I mean, so I was a New Yorker for 23 years and I moved to her hometown here in Pittsburgh a year and a half ago. So, you know, it continues to be a journey with her.
Speaking of a journey, you know, COVID has really kind of, there were so many levels and facets of it, even to this day, that will reverberate for the rest of our lives. But as this was going on, we had time for self-reflection during quarantine. What did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that will make you stronger as you get out, like coming to Kansas City this weekend, and promote the new book and promote the new album?
Well, I think I'm a really strong person. And I think that honestly, really, is something I learned even more during the pandemic. I mean, because not only was the pandemic going on, but I moved. I mean, I bought a house, something I never thought I'd be able to do in New York. Mm. You know, and in fact, when I moved here, I didn't bring my piano because I had an upright piano that I had for like 26 plus years. And it was okay, but, you know, it wasn't even financially worth the cost of moving it. So I really, you know, I turn to my fans, many of whom have followed me for decades, and I just put the word out in whatever way I could, mainly through my email newsletter. And I told people I'm looking to buy a better instrument, and I searched. I found a Steinway B, which is a 7-foot Steinway size, from someone who had rebuilt it in Lancaster. I went out, I had heard about this instrument. I checked it out. I loved it. And basically, through my fans, I raised $25,000 and was able to put the piano, which, you know, now I practice on every day. And to me, that really says something about, I mean, not just about me at all, but about really the power of community. And when you as an artist are creating work that speaks to other people, people want to support it. Even in this time of COVID, you know, having that instrument there, I mean, really, there are some days when I sit down and play it and I just think of the faces of some of the people who donated. You know, they may have donated $10 or, you know, any amount towards that instrument, but it's like they're there with me in the room. So I feel more connected with other people in a different kind of way.
As we do kind of get back to the live music environment, you know, I think entertainers were away from the stage longer than anybody else. As this happens, what do you hope we all collectively realize about the power of live music as we get back to it?
I think that really what live performance and especially music can do is, you know, at least what I hope that my music does is just encourage people to keep on going, like keep on keeping on in whatever they're facing, whatever their daily life is like, because I just want to be able to encourage others.
Beautiful. Hey, thank you so much, Deanna, for taking some time out to talk about the new album, the new book, you know, Modern Life. Good luck with everything as we move forward.
Thank you. Nice to talk with you again.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players, authors, and minds in New York City, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Deanna for her time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz at youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the neonjazz.blogspot.com. And for everything Joe Domino related, go to joedomino.com. And while you're there, you can donate a few bucks to the Neon Jazz cause. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.